What's going on, everybody? This is Colin with.
Hey guys, it's Elliot.
And this is episode number 84, where we're going to talk about the Boston Marathon. Hold on here. So let's just do, I'd like a moment of silence here to recognize something that occurred during the race. So ready, everybody, quiet here. There it is. 5 seconds. If I could have just crossed the line 5 seconds earlier, this interview would be totally different. I guess 6 seconds, but no, all good. I guess spoiler alert, we'll talk about it. So Elliot and I both raced. My time was 2 hours, 40 minutes, and 6 seconds. Elliot, what was your time?
2 hours, 40 minutes, and 1 second.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So Elliot edged me out here. And well, actually, funny story on that. We didn't realize that when we first finished the race. So that was funny here. But let's dive into it. You had a successful trip to my house here, and you didn't get sick, right?
Yep. That was the main success. And I told you beforehand that if any of your kids even showed a sign of a sniffle, I was moving into your mom's house.
Yeah, we did that. And then even the day before the race, Elliot went to take a drink out of a water bottle that one of my sons had, and I refused to let him do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you said, knocked it out of my hand.
Don't touch that. I don't want to have any excuses here. So, nice. We accommodated you well, I'd say, and you got 2 days at Peak Recovery and Health Center. So
I'm not sure you'll be nice to me next time, but I mean that was probably the highlight of my trip, just hanging out with you beforehand, going to your recovery center, got to float a couple times, use all your other modalities. I mean, that place was super cool. Like I told you when we were right there on. I'm like, I would just hang out there, live in there.
It's tempting, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a good excuse. I never get there on a Sunday, so that was pretty sweet. We got to go there on Sunday and get something in, some services in the day before the race. So, but your travels, everything went smoothly, and you were sleeping pretty well at my house, right?
Yeah, really well. Very quiet. Live out in the sticks, but kind of like that. Just
yeah.
Other
absolutely.
Than your kids, there's no noise.
That's right. So Elliot and Becca do not currently have any children, and I don't think they had intentions of having any children, but after this weekend you've changed your mind.
Yeah, definitely gonna have kids now.
Yeah, totally.
Five or six.
Yeah, he's got to up me there now too here, so no, I think everybody, we enjoyed having you for sure. And so this was your, which number Boston was this for you?
Would have been my fourth. So it was my third start. Let's see. I raced it in 2012, 2014, supposed to race it in 2018, and then came back this year.
Yeah. And so for those that don't know that story, that applies to why I wouldn't let him drink that water bottle. So Elliot did stay with us. I wasn't racing that year, but he and Becca did stay with us, and Elliot got quite sick. Even I think Becca was sick, right? But she still ended up racing. Elliot did not race because of the illness we provided to him. So very glad there was no issues with that this year.
Yeah, it was completely healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say this race logistically is just pretty challenging for especially a running race. Like, you think, especially compared to triathlons, it's so easy, you know, to get all your stuff ready. But, you know, it's a point-to-point race. They don't have like a morning clothes bag that you can drop off and then get in the morning of the race and then get at the end of the race. I got us a couple spots on the local running club, Gate City Striders, that I'm a part of. They did a bus to the race. So we ended up taking that down. But even before that, they have a hotel room that they get for, so you can go shower after the race. But if you want to have your clothes or anything after the race at the hotel room, we had to drop that stuff off on Saturday morning. So, you really had to be prepared for this race, and, so I had to get clothes together, like recovery drink, all that stuff, and throw that in a bag. And then we dropped it off at one of the Gate City Strider members' house on Saturday before we headed in to get our bibs. So definitely, again, take some planning, and it's not easy as just showing up at the start line and running 26.2, that's for sure.
Yeah, very logistically challenging, especially when we weren't staying in the city. So we had to figure all that stuff out.
Right. Yep. But then we went into the city on Saturday, got our bibs, went to the expo, just brought a couple of my kids with us. So say that was pretty smooth. We did have some parking challenges, took a little while to get parked, but it was fun. Pretty cool to get on to Boylston, see the finish line, and so many people there for the race. Definitely motivating, and a great atmosphere for sure.
Yeah.
So race morning. Did you sleep all right the night before, Elliot?
That was like the only night I just couldn't really sleep well. I'm not sure why, but got plenty of sleep. Not sure why, huh? Got plenty of sleep the night before. I remember when I woke up, you're like, well, good afternoon.
Yeah. I did not sleep in, I don't think, any of the days, but that's all right. Actually, I guess I have been sleeping. I've been sleeping till almost five most days here, so we'll call that sleeping in. But got up just a touch before you did, all good. So we got up, we packed up our stuff. My dad was nice enough to drive us over to Nashua, where we jumped on the bus and got a smooth ride in. We both had our own kind of two seats there. I guess I will say, even that, I mean, that's way better than being cramped in a car, but I think that still was not ideal for me, not for my hip. Definitely felt that from being kind of scrunched up a little bit. Especially given the cold and kind of damp conditions, the bus drives in and then it just parks, and you're able to hang out in the bus all the way until you go to the start line, which I think is just, again, especially in those kind of conditions, is a game changer. Because if you're sitting out in the cold for a couple hours before starting, that's a really tough way to start your day.
Yeah.
So we did that, bathroom on the bus. So anytime I had to go to the bathroom, all that. I had some other friends on the bus that we were hanging out with and shooting the breeze with. So I think it was a pretty relaxed, good environment. Would you say heading into it?
Yeah. Long wait, but it was nice to be warm. And wait. I mean, even walking around, we got off the bus for a little bit as soon as we got there just to stretch out our legs. But it was a chilly morning. I mean, it seemed kind of cold. So definitely wouldn't have wanted to wait out there for 2.5 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, we had sweats on and things that we walked to the start line. I will say that was you had to kind of walk up and through the athlete village. And then I couldn't believe, I mean, that must have been close to a mile that we walked, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I just never really have, every time I've done it, I just don't really have a sense of like, where we're walking. I mean, it just feels like a long walk to the start. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, okay, I'm there. And then you start. I mean, it just happened so quick.
It did happen. I think we timed it pretty well, right? We walked over with a couple other my buddies, and then we hit the porta potties one last time and then headed over to the start. As we were getting in, it did start to sprinkle, right? Right as we were getting in line, right?
And it was really foggy, I remember. It was
It was foggy.
Yeah.
But, temperature had to have been just low 50s, something like that. To me, I would have to say that's pretty much ideal conditions to run here. So,
I think we had ideal conditions. I mean, Well, I didn't really feel the wind the entire time, but maybe you did.
Perhaps we'll get into that a little bit later. So technically Elliot was, we were both in wave one, but I was in corral four and he was in five, and they actually did cut you off, right? You tried to kind of,
yeah, I tried
with
starting with
they,
you.
Yeah. That would have been big, but,
you would have liked that more now that you think about it.
I would have for sure. But no, we got in line, and the whole week we were kind of talking about that. And as much as I wanted to hang out with Elliot as much as possible, like, I will say I'm one that, does so much of my running by myself. And, there's been a few times when I've done runs with other people and just, felt like I just didn't perform as well, you know, even this is just training runs, but like just felt off and, you know, kind of focused on other people instead of myself. So I felt like for me, it was going to be better off to just kind of do my own thing.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll talk about it more, but I mean, looking back at our splits, I mean, we did run the race differently.
We did. Right. That's true. And I was amazed. I didn't realize, like, I thought it was going to be, you know, 15, 20 minutes before we crossed the line, you know, the 10 a.m. start. But within, what, 2 minutes, we were both across the line or so.
I think my Garmin file said 10:02 we started.
10:02, yeah. So very quick start. And but, you know, to be expected, it was congested. You know, it's definitely a pretty big downhill to start, and definitely the first 10K is a significant net downhill. And I was okay with kind of going at a comfortable pace, but ended up being kind of, I should say substantially, but it was definitely slower than I was expecting. And I will admit I got a little bit out of whack, wanting to run faster. And I think that my first mile ended up being a 6:18, which was my second slowest mile of the day, you know, including the hills and the back half of the race. So that was, and then if you look at like Strava, the gap, you know, the gradient average pace is like 6:25 for an elevation of negative 106 feet on that mile. So it was definitely a comfortable start. And both of us, I think we'd already talked about this a little bit, like low zone two, if not zone one, for our heart rate for that first mile.
Yeah. And I was getting antsy. I mean, it was so slow. And then you have in your head, like, okay, this is like the average I got to run. And it's a steep downhill. And it just felt like we were jogging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so, the roads were pretty narrow. So were you running on the side, like on the sidewalk?
Yeah, I ran on the sidewalk quite a few times, when I could and when it made sense. You know, I was definitely not, you know, getting too aggressive. And I think I may have like bumped with somebody briefly once, but other than that, it was pretty good. But I will say, looking at things, I wish we were able to go out a little bit faster. I think that would
but you never know.
Good, but
I mean,
you know.
Well, I died at the end, so I was thinking back on it. I'm like, maybe like the conservative start kind of helped us.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it could be. You know, when you look at things, and you know our heart rates and things. You know, it was very interesting for me. And again, and you know, this was really the first time I've really raced a marathon in my ever. You know, I've done marathons. Obviously, I've raced kind of in Ironmans, but as a standalone marathon, this is the first time. And I will, you know, admit I definitely had some kind of doubts or concerns about, you know, what exactly I should be doing, you know, as far as pacing, you know, kind of heart rate and things like that. So there's a lot of unknown for me kind of heading into this race here. And, you know, and even I did a good amount of kind of pace work at, you know, 5:50, 6 minute per mile pace throughout my training. And it felt harder than I thought it should. And so I, you know, again, had some doubts of whether I'd be able to pull off, you know, a pace around there.
Yeah. I mean, even that training run we did a couple of days before the race, when we had those 2 minute race pace efforts, I'm like, man, I mean, we went a little faster than goal pace, but I mean, it felt like, I mean, I was working pretty hard.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It felt kind of like that for most of my intervals and so forth. So, you know, I was amazed, and it was kind of mixed. There was times when I was like, wow, my heart rate is lower than I expect it to be on that first half, which I think was obviously great. But at the same time, like, I was starting to feel my legs and like feeling like, oh crap, this is too fast at the same time, or at other times right in around there. So I guess maybe that I should say that equates to being right around where I should have been. It was really unknown. And, you know, I definitely see how with the net downhill at the beginning, and I would say, definitely by mile 10, you know, I was starting to feel my legs a bit. Yeah, and,
same here.
Was not loving that, but you know, for anyone that hasn't done this race, I mean, the crowd support is just absolutely fantastic the entire race. You know, even with the cold and wet conditions we had, it's just completely packed with people. And you know, not to go too far off on a tangent, but I think like just our society is just losing community more and more every year. And to have like this, just this race, especially so close to me and in the state I grew up in, I think it's pretty darn special.
Yeah.
You know, so I was definitely smiling. You know, I did had, thanks to my mom and my brother, they ended up getting some lettering. We had Colin in big letters across my shirt, which definitely, I don't think there's many of the faster folks that are doing that. So I think a lot of people were calling me out, which was pretty nice, you know, and definitely keeping a smile for the vast majority of that race, and giving a lot of high fives to the kids and things like that. So I was staying on the side and definitely enjoying the atmosphere. You were a little more business, huh, buddy?
At first, I mean, I felt really good through like the first half, and I looked down, and I'm like, oh wow, I don't know, like it was like a 119 split for the first 13 miles.
And
I was kind of the same way as you. I just never have taken a marathon out that fast, so I was kind of in the unknown. And looking back, like I'm looking at the flyby right now, so I eventually caught you in about,
right, so
40,
when did you catch me?
42 minutes in.
So that's about what, not even, or seven,
yeah, right,
miles?
After,
was it that,
yeah,
late?
Seven, yeah.
I felt like
I
it,
thought
was,
it was
sooner.
Sooner. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Or 40 minutes in.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, between mile 6 and 7. Okay. Yeah. Cause when you caught up to me, I was like, whoa, I did not expect that. And, you know, that was interesting there. So,
what made you just not? Because I mean, I think if it was the other way around where you caught me, I would probably have just tried to stick with you. I mean, what made you kind of just follow your own plan and just kind of let me go there?
I mean, we did have, I guess at that point too, right, we had a couple other EMJ guys, John Mattson, Anka, what was there, anybody else? I think definitely those two guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember seeing them with you guys were running like in a group of three.
Yeah. So I was kind of chilling with them and kind of leading the charge with them. You know, they were both shooting for, I think, 240, 245. So I was like, all right, you know, this is cool. And I just kind of, and then you kind of, you know, came up and were hanging out with us, and then you kind of took off. And at that point I was kind of just, I don't know. I didn't even cross my mind of like, until you were kind of gone or you were kind of ahead. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. I really didn't faze me one bit to see you out in front of me. I really didn't. You know, I was like, ah, good for you. And then it was, you know, within a little bit, I was like, you know, couldn't see you at all. And I was just like, damn, good for him. I guess he's going to smoke me. And so, yeah, you know, that was good. And then, so I came through the halfway at 120.07. So
So I had about 50.
So you're almost a minute up.
Yeah.
Yeah. 53 seconds ahead at the halfway point.
Man.
So.
So we did pace it completely different. I mean, I just remember, like, after about the 5K mark, it really opened up. So, I mean, those were, I think, my fastest miles of the day, like 5:50s.
Right. And so, and if you look, it is cool on the marathon app, we can, Elliot and I can compare each other. So like it was, you were 6:10, I was 6:09 for the first 3.1 miles. Then it was 5:59 for you, for the next 5K, and I was 6:06. So, you know, that's 20 seconds right there. Then you were, for the next 5K, it was, 6:02 pace to my 6:07. Then, 6:02 pace for you again versus my 6:09. And at the halfway, you were at 6:01, or at least for that 5K, and I was at 5:57. So that's when I guess made up a little bit of time technically in that. Oh no, that's only a 0.7 miles there. But yeah, came through. You know, I kind of I was expecting kind of to come in under 120, and it definitely wasn't. It was like, oh boy, you know, knowing the way this course is laid out, you know, coming in past 120, it was not a confidence builder that breaking 240 was going to happen, to say the least. But you know, I was still just along for the ride, and you know, staying within myself and enjoying the experience. While working, for sure. You know, again.
Yeah, I mean, so like when you were pacing that, I mean, were you had like the pace, like overall pace, what you needed to break 240, but like, were you just trying to even split it, or were you, I mean, what was going on in your head there?
I mean, I think every mile, for the most part, I was like wanting to be around 6 minute per mile, I would say, was kind of what I was shooting for. So, I mean, I was, you know, anywhere from, you know, 4 to 9 seconds off of that for most of my miles there, were a little bit slower, but I don't know. You know, I was still thinking that it's really that 6:05, right, is what it kind of comes down to, or what is the sub 240 pace?
6:06.
6:06, right. So, you know, I was still like, all right, I'm right there. And I kind of just kept that mentality the whole time. You know, again, knowing the hills were coming and did not want to blow up. So, with the doubt, I mean, I did one at one point, I think it was around mile 10 or so, I saw a gentleman with a autism shirt on, that I kind of caught up to, and we ran side by side for a few minutes and, you know, literally chit chatted about our sons that have autism and, you know, like their challenges, and, you know, it was kind of a legit conversation. So to be having that, you know, was definitely a good indicator. I was like, all right, well, I can't be really going too hard if I'm able to have this conversation right now. So, you know, I thought that was good for me. I was still just kind of really riding the unknown and just being like, all right, well, let's do what I can. And we'll see what happens. But yeah, I guess if you do look at then, maybe that did put a little fire in me, because, mile 14 was a 5:58. You know, I guess mile 15 was a 6:04. Then 16 was a 5:55. And if you look at the gap, you know, I started to drop it down a little bit for most of the miles here. So
yeah, and then you re-caught me right before, like, mile 16, right before, like, the hills.
Right before the hills, all of a sudden, Elliot came in sight again, and I said, oh, there he is.
I'm not going to lie. I was a little deflated and very, it got very anxious. And I really like just kind of spaced out and don't really even remember like any other towns. I mean, all like the waving and high fives just ended there for the rest of the race.
You were too busy looking at the back of my shirt. So, yeah. So, you know, I kind of, caught up to him, and, I think I said, how you doing? Right. Yeah. Like, but not too much of an exchange, just kind of, kept on going. I mean, I think both of us probably were in the mental state where it's like, all right, we know there's really four kind of major climbs on this course, all within roughly a 5 mile stretch. So I think probably we're mentally getting prepared for that. And we also, big shout out to Northeast Multisports / Peak Tri Coaching. We had the tent up and had awesome crowd support and club members on the side of the road, right, actually really on the first hill. And so that was really great. See them, give some high fives. And I was definitely thinking about them probably from like mile 10 on, honestly, knowing that I'd be seeing them, and you know, wanted to make sure that I was keeping aware to, I thought, you know, I knew where they were going to be, but I wasn't exactly sure where it was. So,
man, every time I go and visit you, though, I'm always amazed how well known you are, and just you're like the king of the Northeast. Everyone just knows you.
Not
I mean,
true,
yeah, I mean, but, even like going to the expo and you, I mean, 30,000 people running it, and we run into just so many people that, you know, I mean, it's amazing the community around you and how many people that know who you are.
It is. Well, it's because it's a great community, you know, mm-hmm. and I do definitely love people and love the people in endurance sports. So, but yeah, it's always great. And this is, you know, this is even for us triathletes. And, you know, even when I think back to when I was a kid, like going to the Boston Marathon, I think I only went a couple times, but, you know, it's a big deal, you know? So, I think it's definitely very special for us New Englanders, and Massachusetts folks. So, but yeah, so, but then the hills, you know, they were legit. You know, I definitely didn't recall when I did the race back in 2009, you know, I remember, you know, being hard, but I didn't remember anything about the hills and didn't have the opportunity to go run it on the course and things like that. So, I was kind of, you know, had prepared as best I could, but they were what they are. And I really felt quite good going up all the hills. And,
yeah. I mean, I honestly, it was a slower pace, obviously, because you're going uphill, but it was kind of a nice break on the quads. I mean, I just remember that really steep downhill right before like the hills start, and
mile 15, I think, or a little bit after that, is a steep downhill that's like, that's a doozy. And then heading up into mile 16 is where that first hill is. So I think I ended up with a 610 mile with a gap of 554. And yeah, felt good. I mean, the good thing is kind of nice, as we joked about in that YouTube video I watched the day before the races, you know, it's like, well, when you get up every hill, there is a downhill pretty much after each one of them. So, you know,
so that helped you, right?
Reward. Yeah, I did think of that guy. I did. Yeah.
I watched a video and they're like, at the crest of every hill, do 10 fast feet to get yourself back into momentum. And I just remembered that for some reason. And
okay,
seemed to help.
Yeah, for sure. But even by that point, I think I heard some lovely groans from you, right?
Oh yeah, I had some very bad rough patches through those hills. So yeah, dry heaving right behind you.
Yeah, and I was just
groaning
like,
a little bit.
Boy. So I mean, pretty amazing how you kept with it and held on here. Because I mean, I kept hearing those and I was just like, wow, look at this guy.
I remember
going.
Trying to take the lead once and I was kind of running side by side with you. I'm like, I don't like this.
Yeah. So, the hills were there. They're definitely legit, but I felt really strong all the way through those. And, you know, it was great to get to Boston College and then have that downhill. I feel like overall, I should have done a better job on the downhills. Like, I think I ran them pretty well, but there was a couple times I think I should have sped up a little bit more, you know, really focused on that forward lean. And I guess another thing, and I was kind of, I ended up wearing the Saucony Endorphin Elites. And like one time kind of early on in the race, like I literally almost slipped You know, obviously it had been raining, it was wet, and especially if you were on like the center line or any of the lines, it was quite slippery. And I think maybe it was just how slippery they really were. I was kind of blaming my shoes, but even you experienced that, right?
Yeah, I slipped a number of times, and yeah, it was always on the paint. So
yeah,
I just kind of learned not to
stay away from those. Right?
Yeah, but yeah, it's hard because I mean the road is kind of concaved, and running in the middle of the road is kind of where ideal.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right. So I don't know if that impacted me at all, but if I were to go back, I think I'd really focus on making sure I was maximizing the downhills, and not, you know, I would say I was probably like 90% with it good, but if we're nitpicking here, looking for little things to have done better, I think I could have gone a little bit faster on the downhills.
And what about nutrition? So, everything went well for you?
It did. Yeah. Well, you know, I did. So I was doing all Morton gels and stayed on top of those quite well. I believe it was around mile 14 or so, I was grabbing one of my salt tabs and I dropped my baggie that had them in there. So my last salt tab was at mile 14 or so, which was not the game plan. I was planning to continue to take those. But given the conditions, you know, I guess there was right at the end of the race, I started to feel like my hamstring was about to spasm. And maybe, you know, keeping going on the salts would have held that at bay a little bit more. But overall, I thought my strategy and I executed on it quite well. So how about you?
Yeah, same. I mean, I took the goo Roctane. So, yeah, I had one every 20, 25 minutes and all caffeinated. So I like those.
You like caffeinated the whole way?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I was at the first half or so, I was doing two non-caffeinated to one caffeinated. Then by the second half, I was going every other caffeinated versus to regular. So, yeah. And, you know, again, I think the max temp was maybe 55 degrees, right? It stayed quite cool. And we were really kind of controlled. You know, with the temperatures, I will say, I did feel those winds a bit more than perhaps Elliot did. you know, not that they were bad, but you could feel them for sure. And, you know, again, another thing, maybe I could have done a little bit better. There was a few people that we ended up kind of being right around that, and there was one guy I kind of had in sight for a good portion that, like, I did run behind him, around him a few times. But could have done a little bit better of trying to get behind people.
Well, it's easier, you know, for me to do than you. You got to find a tall person.
I was going to say where we actually get benefited from it is a little bit different. But, you know, I think there could be some better execution there. You know,
yeah,
but,
I mean, I would say 95% of the race I was running directly behind someone.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, then we came over, and I think my race pictures show, you know, all smiles through mile 20 or 21. And then for the last few pictures, it was definitely time to dig deep. And I mean, I still, you know, the hills went well. I would have to look at where we're at.
I mean, I really think looking back, 22 through 24, all 5:58s for me. And that's when I was running with you, I mean, behind you. So, I mean, I really thought that made our race right there. I mean, that kind of pace, and we still had energy after those hills. I mean, that really did me a lot
agreed.
Of favors.
Yep.
And I don't really think I would have had the motivation to run that kind of pace after those hills if I was just running alone without you.
Yeah, I still, you know, I think I was driven by that time, and I said, all right, I can do this. And, you know, it was definitely getting very hard. And, you know, the last, even after, like, I remember the first time I ran Boston, I remember getting to BC and being so excited. That was actually the furthest I had ever run at that point in my life. So I was just like, all right, you know, I got the hills done. And then it was like, oh crap, there's still another 5 miles to go. And those miles were hard. And you know, so it was really definitely a mental game for me there. I think I held on pretty well, and yeah, we were at, you know, so right in after that, it was like mile 21 was, that was a 626. That was my slowest mile. So going up the last hill, but I think that is the most significant hill.
Same that here.
Is
that
the
was,
quote unquote heart,
that was
heartbreak
my
hill.
Slowest mile right. of the race.
But you know, the gap of that was 559, and then 22, 23, 24, we're all at 601, 6 minute, 555. And I think it was right around there at some point at the, or right either at the end or the beginning of mile 25, I kind of said, oh crap, I don't think I'm going to make it, you know? And I think I let off the gas for maybe 15, 20 seconds. And even I think if I stayed, you know, went a little bit faster, like maybe that equated to, if that 2 or 3 seconds, like I don't think it would have been the difference to get me there. But that was the one point where I kind of mentally feel like I broke very temporarily. And then I did dig myself out and say, come on, you gotta go for this.
Yeah. I mean, but I did notice you were changing up your pace a little bit at the end, but yeah, I mean, honestly, for mile 16 on, I just kind of depended on you. I didn't even really look at my time anymore. So I just,
yeah,
I didn't know if we were close, but I mean, just looking at mile splits, like, I mean, I knew I was close.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew it was close as well. And I did know, you know, when you turn onto Boylston, it's still a good little stretch you got to go. And I'm pretty sure I made that turn. It must have been at like 2:38 flat. So like I had just about 2 minutes to make it happen. And, you know, there's a little slight hill up before you do that, take that turn. And I just absolutely went for it. And, so I did end up, you know, that's all right. Another challenge that is hard too, that made it difficult is, you know, the course is, especially compared to Garmin's, is long. So you come to mile 26 and you don't have 0.2 to go, you know, you've got more than that. But yeah, how much more, you don't really know. So when you're this close on a time goal, it was just kind of like, all right, you know, I think I can do it, you know, let's find out. And so during that 2 minute stretch, you know, I got to like 1 minute into that and I was like, all right, I can do this. And it was like probably at about 90 seconds into that, I was like, shit, this ain't gonna happen.
It's just so devastating. I mean you make that turn, you could see the finish line, but it's so far away.
It is, yeah. But you know, I kept going. I think so. I, according to Garmin, that last 0.31 miles, you know, after mile 26 was at 5:17 pace. So my fastest of the day. And you know, I left it all out there. And finished. That's right. I'm not sure exactly where you dropped off for me.
I know where it was. It was right at that underpass.
At the underpass. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, I always forget about that part because you think, all right, once you're done with the Newton Hills, all the hills are over with. But just
there
like
that,
all those undulating like little rollers at the end. I mean, they. You just feel everything at that point. So. But
you do.
Yeah, you definitely pulled away on that underpass.
Let's talk a little bit about some things we missed here along the way, though, in that last little stretch there. What do you think? It was at least 4 or 5 bumps along the way?
Elbow bumps, yeah. I mean, I remember clipping your heels, and then the last time I did it, you kind of looked over at me and you're like, what the F are you doing? I remember at mile... I think we were at mile like 23 and I'm like, are we at mile 20 yet? And you're like, we're at mile 23.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Oh, that shows where you were at. Huh?
I was just getting in your head, man.
That's impressive that you can. I mean, I would think you'd like think, are we at mile 26 yet or something, you know? I think we were ahead of where we were. But yeah, no, the bumps. Bumps were happening. I was kind of like, all right, come on, Elliot. You know, don't do that. And then the last one, last one, I didn't fully turn, but I gave a little bit of a look back, and I didn't say anything, but I'm surprised I
knew.
Didn't, because
I knew.
Yeah, right. I guess it was enough. Say, all right, dude, I'm pushing enough here right now. I don't need any extra challenges here.
And I just remember you even like kind of, I mean, you kind of like went off to the side a little bit, and I was just kind of like, it was exactly like bike racing, just directly behind you, just following exactly what your path was.
Right,
it was
right.
kind of funny.
Yeah, so I did make up a bit of time on you at the end there, but and then the funny part, so then, you know, I finished, I couldn't see Elliot right away, but he finished not long after me, and boy did he look like $1 million when he crossed the line. So tell us about the last stretch for you, Elliot.
Oh, it was just a grind. I mean, yeah, it was funny. So right before the turn on Boylston, I caught my coach, Jared Shoemaker.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. But that was just a coincidence. But yeah, we were both hurting pretty bad. So yeah, my main goal was just keeping you in sight. And I wasn't exactly sure what the time gap was. Like, I mean, how much sooner you started than me.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, I mean, I was giving it everything I possibly had. And I think my last 0.38 miles was 6:05 pace. So not as bad as I thought, but you really just took off. I mean,
yeah,
there's just no way I can hold on to you.
And that's right. So the whole time you're holding on to me, are you doing that for yourself or is it to beat me?
A little bit of both. I mean, I knew you started ahead of me. So I'm like, as long as I stick to you and keep you kind of within sight, I mean, it should be close. So that gave me motivation. I mean, did you kind of have that in your head when I was behind you that entire way?
Definitely. Yeah, there's a few times like this little bastard just going to sit behind me and he's going to beat me. seriously, to have you, you know, to know that I helped you to have a great race is extremely rewarding, and very, very happy about that. So
I honestly don't think I would have been able to do that without you.
Well worth it. But let's tell them the funny part here. So you crossed the line. I mean, they had a volunteer on you quickly, right? You like couldn't even really, you were like dry heaving, and I was like, oh boy, we're gonna be here while Elliot's heading to the med tent. And the volunteer and I were kind of carrying you. And so we compared times, right? I think I stopped mine like a second late, but I thought I had done 2:40:07. And what did you think you had done?
Yeah, my Garmin said 2:40:09. So I thought you had me.
So when we crossed the line, I was surprised. I still thought he had beat me. But when we compared times, I thought I had him by 3 seconds or 2 seconds, whatever it was. And it wasn't till my good friend Dan, shout out to Dan Greer for Sherpa-ing for us and bringing us home after the race. That was definitely a logistical challenge. But he made some kind of reference to Elliot beating me when I called him to try and coordinate with him. And I was like, what are you talking about? And sure enough, like we said, 2:40:06 for me and 2:40:01 for Elliot. So that's where I wanted to do that moment of silence for those 5 seconds there. They're going to haunt me forever here.
Yeah. And another thing you could have done is run without your phone.
That's true. Oh, yeah. You know, do we want to go through the excuse list?
Yep.
No, but I did. So that is a challenge. So it's just this race, you know, again, you can't, if you didn't bring your phone with you, like, so Elliot did not have his phone since we left my house in the morning until we got back at what, 5 PM?
Yeah.
So knowing that, to get out of there, we're going to need a phone. You know, I did race with my phone.
You took one for the team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I still don't regret that. I mean, but legitimately, if we're looking to find 6 seconds or 7 seconds, that weight, you know, is potentially it. I mean, when it comes to running, our weight does really impact things. So, you know, it was on me. So, whereas Elliot chose, you know, again, to not have that on. So kudos to him, just better race tactics.
Yep. Did everything right. Yep. No, right. I'm a little, I wish I ran 2 seconds faster too. And I keep thinking what I could have done, but yeah, I mean, no bathroom stops. I never stopped.
Right.
Nope. Shoelaces never right. were undone. So,
right.
I mean, I honestly think we gave it our best efforts. I mean,
yeah. You know, and that's, like you said, I mean, if I'm going to make an excuse, I'm going to say it's the first mile. And I think that if, you know, we were to do this again and being up in the, up a corral or two,
well, especially how, made the especially difference. How strong you finished too. I mean, I look back and I'm like, you know, if I ran those first few miles fast, like 6 minute pace, I mean, who knows what I would have been like at the end,
right.
because I mean, I did fade at the end a little bit. So,
yeah. And, you know, exactly. I mean, that's the tricky thing when you start getting into, you know, the times and, you know, you're so close to that line. If you just go a little bit faster, you know, whole race could have been totally different, you know? Yeah. So coulda, woulda, shoulda, doesn't matter. We, you know, we fell just shy, but, still damn proud and happy with how the race went.
Yeah. 74 minute PR for you, right?
That's right. 74 minute Boston PR for me. So not bad.
And are we doing it again next year?
Well, you know, we're recording this on Friday. So 4 days after the race, you know, Elliot asked me that before he went home, on their Tuesday morning, right? When we were on the way to the airport, and I was not willing to say yes to that by any means, but, I
remember right when we crossed the finish line, I'm like, all right, my season is done now.
Yeah, that's right. You did say that. Yeah.
I don't like this feeling right now.
Yeah. But I think I could be persuaded to go back next year. We'll see how life is going here.
I knew I could talk you into it.
That was good. So we'll see. But very, very happy with that. And it was a great experience, great weekend here. And I guess, you know, so I mentioned, I think potentially I don't know if it was the most painful, but it was damn close, was the walk back to the hotel after.
Oh my gosh.
The hotel we had, the Striders had, was about a mile from the finish line.
Which doesn't seem that far, like before the race when you're like, oh, okay, it's only a mile, it'll be fine.
Yeah, not too bad.
Easily walk there.
But, you know, we didn't have anything. So all we had was, you know, we both race in tank tops and shorts and everything. And we had like the blankets they give you wrapped around us, but it started to rain. And like at one point it was torrentially downpouring. Where like I was shivering. I don't know if you were shivering.
Yeah, I was freezing.
You know, really cold. And it was just like, oh my goodness, please.
We weren't even really walking. We were just kind of like stumbling.
Yeah, right. And then even had at one point we couldn't cross the street where we needed to, and we had to go back a little bit. And it was just like, oh man.
I remember we were walking for a little bit and you're like, oh my gosh, you've only walked 0.1 miles.
Yeah. I did ask him about getting an Uber, and I'm glad he said no. But Because I will say, as awful as that was, I think that was good for us to keep moving.
Yeah, I think the last half mile of that walk, my legs started feeling a little better.
Right. You know, so that was good, and I would encourage that. And then that shower was glorious. That was great to get out of those clothes so quickly and not have to be in those for a long time, and get a little something to eat. And then it took us... What, how long after we left the hotel till Dan actually got us? Must have been at least 45 minutes.
It was
minutes
just like
hour,
a zoo,
right?
Over there, because the Red Sox game was going
on.
We
were right,
and
right next to the Fenway. And there was one point we just needed to get, like, not even a block. There was just one little part that they had blocked off, really, for I still don't know why, because it was, I don't know. But we couldn't get around this one little section that threw everything off. And then Dan had to drive, you know, an extra 20, 30 minutes to come get us. So it was tough logistically, but I mean, we didn't wait around much at the finish line. We headed out pretty quickly to get over to the hotel and try and get out of there. But it was a long day. You know, we got back to our, to my house, what, like 4:45 or something like that. And, then literally 10 minutes later, headed back out the door to go get our feast on. Right. Yep. So we ended up hitting up my, buddy Rodrigo. He's a client, that, owns a Brazilian steakhouse in Leominster, Massachusetts. And so Comico shout out. That was, really, really good. Hit the spot. I definitely had my appetite back by then. It's kind of, yeah. You know, for those not familiar with Brazilian steakhouses, most of them are all you can eat. This one certainly is. And, I took full advantage of that for sure.
Yeah. That was exactly and what I needed.
It was, you know, high protein, lots of salt. It was just what the doctor ordered. So, all the kiddos, everybody, had a good time. It was my mother's birthday the day before. So we celebrated her birthday as well. And, kind of capped off a great day and a lot of smack talk. And I took it on the chin for sure with with the times. And
now you know how I felt like the past, well, pretty much every single race we've ever done together.
That's not true. 2010, you beat me. I guess I'm okay with you beating me every 13 years or so.
Yeah.
No, I'm proud of you, man. I'm glad you beat me and edged me out. And I think we both motivated each other. And if we do go back next year, I already got some thoughts on it's going to be more than just breaking 240. I'll tell you that much. but then, it was a quick turnaround. You had a 5:50 a.m. flight. So we were up early to get Elliot off to the airport. And travel. And that's right. Let's talk about this. We've definitely validated, it sounds so counterintuitive, but, if you run an all out marathon, you know, just a standalone all out marathon, you will likely be, at least Boston anyways, and the way this course is set up, more sore, from this race than from doing an Ironman.
Definitely.
You know, like, so here again, we're recording on Friday, 4 days after the race. Tuesday, you know, I could barely walk. Wednesday, I could barely walk. Like, actually, I had to coach flag football Tuesday night, and like, I couldn't even barely throw the ball. Like, it was like, it was comical. I was like, oh man, and like trying to pick up balls after stuff. It was just challenging. And Wednesday wasn't much better. Thursday, sorry to say, all right, you know, I'm turning the corner here and feeling better, but still was pretty darn sore. And today, definitely feeling a lot better, but still got some pretty good soreness going.
Yeah. Like when I go into a squat and try to like stand up, it hurts. So
yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Like how long like a true recovery takes for one of these. Because exactly. It's interesting because when we ran our qualifying events, I mean, we kind of just ran it at an aerobic effort. And I remember you raced the next weekend. I mean, I had Ironman Canada the week after that. So, I mean, I feel like it didn't really take too much out of us, but when you're going at like a race pace effort and giving it everything you have, I mean, it really
huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that is part of the reason why, you know, we really, strongly against, you know, running a marathon as part of your Ironman preparation. The recovery is just very significant, you know, and you got to respect that. For those triathletes out there, think twice about those, or just make sure you're doing those marathons at the right time in relation to your, you know, I guess depends on what you care about more, but if triathlon's your thing and you're running marathons kind of as a secondary, do them at the right time.
Yeah. Because, I just think they are harder on your body than an Ironman.
Yeah.
You have that fatigue feeling in Ironman, but this just like, really pounds the body.
No doubt. So it was a glorious weekend. Thanks for coming out and staying with us. Had a really great time, and congrats again on beating me. I'll be thinking about those 6 seconds. I'm gonna call it 6 instead of 5. Yeah.
I should just retire now, and on a good note.
Yeah. But it was a lot of fun. So
gotta do it in Ironman now.
Yeah. All right, let's see it. You're gonna have to get me to do an Ironman to make that happen, I guess. But
what's up cool. next? What's up next for you?
So I got, I guess, not a race, but the Ironman Lake Placid camp we're putting on is in a few or what 3 weeks. So that'll be great. Looking forward to getting Lake Placid middle of May. Hopefully we get some decent weather and it's not too cold or anything, but really, really looking forward to that. That'll be great. Some great training. And then Western Mass 70.3, the beginning of June. And then, geez, I can't remember the name of the race, but race in Amsterdam, half Ironman at the end of June are my focuses here.
That's going to be an awesome experience.
Should be cool. How about you?
I got a duathlon in a couple weeks. And then as long as I get my passport back in time, I think I'm going to be doing Victoria 70.3.
Nice.
And then a bunch That'll of local cool. races. And then my big race of the year, Ironman Canada at the end of August.
Oh, yeah. That'll be cool. Yeah. Yep. Well, we'll have plenty to talk about between now and then. But yeah, I think we're both set up with some pretty strong run fitness here as we head into officially triathlon season here, I guess.
Excited to get that underway.
No doubt. So cool. So yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Have any questions or comments, definitely let us know.
If you want to switch coaches, you can go to me.
Nah. If you want the faster coach, then Elliot's your guy now. Geez, I'm gonna have to line up another race soon here.
I'm cheaper as well.
Shit like this, you know. Yeah, that's true. All good points, you know. Elliot is a great coach. Absolutely, I would endorse that wholeheartedly.
Dan already told me he wants to make the switch.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, last time I'm bringing you around my clients here. You know?
No, but thank you for hosting me. I had a really good time. So,
absolutely.
Makes me want to go back.
Having you. Could be. Not committing to it, but could
I'll talk you into
happen.
It.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Cool. All right, everybody. Well, thanks again for listening. Until next time, everybody be good.